When Your Shields Fall, written by Aerred and read by Kitana. The Force is never quiet, not for Anakin Skywalker. It is always with him, humming around him, whispering into his ear, omniscient, ever-present, inescapable. Anakin leans forward, laying his weight on the rusty console he's supposed to be monitoring. The Force bristles around him the way it does when something is wrong. It had been doing that a lot recently, what with the galaxy ravaged by war and all. It's worse now, though. A constant reminder not just of the war, but of the droids outside the borders of the tiny town they had taken refuge in. Of the slowly failing electrical grid powering a barely working ray shield. The only thing keeping the droids out and them in. Of the citizens injured and dying from the refinery explosion only days prior. Every prickly warning sends his head pounding and a shiver down his spine. The numbers and dials the console displays blur uncomfortably and he closes his eyes, bringing a hand to his head. He tries to blink through it and focus again. He needs to be monitoring the generators. But someone must have been dying at the sick house across town because he can't shake it. Anakin sways, swallowing against the bile rising in his throat. Hey, a voice from beside him. It's Devi, the only mechanic in Torbal. The only other person capable of keeping the generators working and the shield up. What's going on? She asks. Head giving you trouble again? All Anakin can manage is a wince and a nod as Devi's anti-grav harness creaks beside him, worn from the years of use it's seen since her injury. The sound grates against the inside of his skull. You're getting worse, she says, and Anakin doesn't have to look at her to know she's worried. I'm okay, Devi. There's a pause, and Anakin's headache lessens enough for him to open his eyes. He glances at Devi. She's watching him, worrying her bottom lip. Why don't you head over to the sick house, she says. Have Sufi check you out.
I need to be here.
I can manage on my own. Anakin swallows and considers her proposal. A trip to the sick house meant he could check on Obi-Wan. He barely left the building, probably spent more time there helping the town's healer Sufi than Sufi herself did. And if it meant easing Devi's nerves...
Fine. He drops his hand to his side. But you have to promise to calm me if anything happens, and I mean anything.
Of course, she says, gesturing towards the door. Now get on your way. Anakin nods, taking a moment to make sure he can trust his legs before he eases his weight off the console. Once he's steady, he walks to the door and pushes it open, squinting against the sun as he steps out. The light makes his headache flare up, his eyes unaccustomed to the brightness after spending so long in the dark power plant. Despite being across town, the walk from the power plant to the sick house is a short one. Another bristle from the Force pulls at Anakin's attention as he nears the building, sending a wave of unease over him. There is a reason he avoids getting his injuries treated, other than the unique penchant for stubbornness and insolence Obi-Wan insists he has. Anakin hates hospitals. He hates medical wings and trauma centers. He hates being around the injured and sick and grieving because he feels all of it. Despite all the work he put into his mental shields, pain like that always seemed to slip through. It sent him home with a shiver and a headache on a good day. Today was not a good day. Not that he would ever tell anyone, though. Not even Obi-Wan knew. He'd had it hard enough being so many years behind his peers at the temple. He doesn't want anyone to know that, even knighted, he still struggles with his shields of all simple things. By the time Anakin reaches the sick house and pushes the door open, his hands have begun shaking. The room is dark and quiet, and it would have been a relief if it weren't for the pain of its occupants being broadcast directly into his skull, like it was being reported on by one of those hollow-nut journalists who always talk too loud. Sufi is in the corner grinding herbs. Obi-Wan is tending to a patient, and the room is devoid of anyone else conscious. Sufi notices him as soon as he steps in. "Anakin," she says. Despite her Lantiban drawl, her voice is sharp and clinical. "What brings you here?" she asks, stepping over to him and laying a hand on his forehead. It's routine now. Sufi has checked Anakin's temperature every time he'd come in since the refinery explosion, making sure he wasn't developing Danamite poisoning from the fumes it had released. Green sickness, as the locals called it. He's used to it now, and he's too distracted by the pounding in his head to notice the furrow in her brow as she presses her hand to his face.
"Devi wanted me to come see you. Headache."
"That's it?" she asks, her tone skeptical. Anakin clears his throat.
"That's it."
Sufi drags her hand down to his cheek. The crease of her brow is more apparent now.
"You don't happen to have a scratchy throat, too, do ya?"
Anakin shakes his head.
"No."
"Huh." Sufi pulls her hand down from his face.
"That's odd." "What? Why?"
The crease in his brow matches hers.
"You ain't green sick, not without a sore throat that you don't have, but you're burning up." "What? I feel fine. It's just a headache," Anakin protests.
He drags his own hand up to his forehead to prove it, but even if he doesn't want to admit it, he is warmer than usual. "What's going on, Obi-Wan?" He's finished with his patient and approaching them. His brow is furrowed, and there's a familiar frown pulling on his features that Anakin recognizes instantly. He's concerned. The same way he'd get when Anakin was a Padawan and came home late or was sent home early. Anakin groans.
"Your Jedi friend is running a fever."
Obi-Wan's eyebrows raise, and he grabs Anakin's wrist, leading him over to the nearest cot.
"Sit," he says. "Obi-Wan, I'm fine. I said..."
Obi-Wan places his hands on Anakin's shoulders and pushes him down onto the mattress.
"Sit."
Anakin wants to object, to stand up or walk out, but Obi-Wan's hands are colder than Sufi's, and by the time his tired mind has caught up, Obi-Wan's cool hand has already found his forehead. Force, it feels nice. Almost against his will, Anakin relaxes against his palm. Obi-Wan's Force presence flickers above him as he slides his hand down to Anakin's cheek.
"Sufi's right, you sure are warm, and you're trembling."
Anakin swallows, rubs his shoulder, and realizes that Obi-Wan is right. Sometime between when he'd arrived and now, the tremors in his hands had progressed into full-body shivers, and he'd barely noticed. Obi-Wan pulls his hand back, sitting down on the edge of the cot next to him.
"How long have you been like this?" he asks, using the same tone he had when Anakin had been sick as a Padawan.
It irks him.
"I don't know, Obi-Wan," he answers honestly. "Days? We've been going nonstop for what feels like ages."
"Days?" Obi-Wan's eyes widen. His alarm spreads through the Force and bangs around the inside of Anakin's skull.
"Days? Anakin, why didn't you say anything?" "Like I said, I'm fine. Let me go back to the power plant. It's just a headache."
"And a fever? Anakin, if it's not dynamite poisoning, then we have no idea what's making you sick."
Anakin groans. He doesn't care. He just wants out of the griffing sick house. The commotion they're making is waking up the nearby patients, and when they're awake, they're in more pain.
"You're staying here," Obi-Wan says, and Anakin's heart sinks. "I want you to rest, and I want to make sure you're not getting worse."
"Obi-Wan, no! I need to be at that power plant. Devi needs me."
"And he needs to be anywhere but here. I need you here, Anakin, please." The "I'm worried about you" and the "this is bad" go unstated, but he can tell by the way Obi-Wan speaks that he's deeply serious.
Anakin buries his head in his hand and groans. Maybe if he sleeps through it, it won't be so bad. Force knows he needs the rest. Maybe with the other patients asleep, maybe with Obi-Wan there, maybe he can take it. Maybe.
"Fine," he says,
laying himself down on the scratchy sheets, burying his face in the thin pillow in an attempt to block out something, anything.
But you'll wake me if anything happens.
Yes, Anakin.
Promise?
Yes, Anakin. Anakin nods, allowing his eyes to finally slip shut. A moment later, fingers are combing through his grimy hair and he sighs, the pounding in his head reduced to a dull roar as he leans into his old master's touch.
And Obi-Wan?
Yes, Anakin.
Just,
he exhales,
stay?
Always. They stay like that for a while, Obi-Wan dragging his hand through Anakin's sweaty curls. Anakin isn't a peaceful sleeper, not when he's hurting. Everything he feels shows on his face like a window into his soul, and right now his expression is tense and pained. It worries Obi-Wan. Lanteeb is a very isolated planet. Has been for some time. Force only knows what diseases it could have developed that they would have no resistance to. Though Anakin could have picked something up anywhere, maybe he was only just getting sick now. That is, if he is sick. Anakin shivers beneath Obi-Wan's palm, letting out a half whine, half exhale, as a particularly nasty chill runs up his spine. His fever has only gotten worse, his sleep only more fitful. Anakin is no longer his charge, but he is still his Padawan, and no part of Obi-Wan wants to watch him suffer. He tries to soothe him through their bond, but it doesn't seem to work. And the sleep suggestion he'd given him earlier had only made him more restless. Obi-Wan almost wants him to be sick, because then he doesn't have to think about the alternative. But he isn't ignorant. He knows how far they've been pushed the past couple weeks. And he knows that Jedi, no matter how powerful, have limits. He knows what Anakin is like when he is driven past those limits. He has seen it before, and he doesn't want to see it again. Obi-Wan looks down at the shivering mess of a young man beside him. If he's right, and he really hopes he isn't, then no amount of force healing would help Anakin. But he has to do something. He searches the room, finding a blanket stashed on top of a cabinet. He pulls it down and examines it. The cloth is thin and worn, but then again, so is everything else in Torbal. It would do. He steps back to the cot, laying the blanket over Anakin's lean frame. It doesn't fix anything. He's still just as sick, but he relaxes a little, and that's enough. Obi-Wan sits back down, watching as Anakin curls further into the thin sheets. He reaches out, smoothing back his sweaty hair, resuming his vigil. Anakin feels it before anything. The shift in the Force, grabbing for his attention, much more urgent than he is used to, telling him something is wrong. Get up! Then Obi-Wan is shaking his shoulders. Anakin! He sits up, blinking sleep from his eyes.
Obi-Wan, what's going on?
We're about to lose Generator 6. And he's awake. He's up and out of the door before he even knows it, legs doing what his mind cannot. He breaks into a sprint with Obi-Wan at his heels.
How long? He asks.
Not long. Someone saw the shield malfunctioning before Tevi even calmed you. And Anakin sees it too. A large swath of the shield above their heads flickers and spits, threatening to break down at a moment's notice. Anakin curses. The ground beneath his feet is hard, and it sends a shock up his spine every time his boots hit the ground. But Anakin doesn't stop. He doesn't even slow down. If that shield falls, they're all dead. And they're running out of time. Finally, the hard-packed dirt gives way to a grassy field, and the failing generator comes into view. Anakin skids to a stop, throwing open the generator as soon as it's within arm's reach. He plunges himself into the Force, into the generator itself. There isn't enough time for slow-moving human thought. He lets the Force guide him, submitting himself to it fully without regard for the consequences. Anakin becomes nothing more than a conduit. It takes a toll, but he ignores the pounding in his head and the rolling in his stomach, ignores how it grows with every one of the Force's whispers. He doesn't have time to concentrate on how his vision has started to blur or how dizzy he's becoming. The only things that matter are the generator in front of him and the shield above him. Finally, Anakin feels it. A spark in the Force as the generator whirs to life before him. A moment later, the shield stops its uneasy flickering. For now, the shield is fine, and they are safe. It is at this moment when Anakin stumbles back from the generator, staring up at the unwavering shield, shivering and swaying with his vision swimming and his stomach churning, that everything comes crashing down. His legs give out under him, and he would have hit the ground if it weren't for Obi-Wan and his quick reflexes, coming up behind Anakin just in time for him to collapse into his arms. Anakin's Force presence is wavering, and it puts a pit in Obi-Wan's stomach as he lowers himself and Anakin onto the grass. His Padawan slumps against him, curling into his chest with a groan. "Anakin," Obi-Wan says with too much urgency. "Padawan, look at me!" The boy at his side is warm. Even through his clothes, Obi-Wan can feel the heat radiating off him. Anakin's eyes flutter open for a moment, but his gaze is far off, and it takes a noticeable amount of effort for him just to lock eyes with Obi-Wan. "Good," he says. "Stay with me." He can feel the Force swirling around Anakin like a bad rainstorm, reeling and fierce and rapidly slipping from his control. No wonder, he's barely coherent. Obi-Wan curses. This is exactly what he hadn't wanted to happen. Force exhaustion is nothing to play with, not with Anakin. Obi-Wan remembers being a youngling at the temple, when one master had sat him down and explained Force sensitivity to him. It was like a door, he had been told. For beings who weren't Force sensitive, the door was shut. But for those who were, it was open. And it opened to varying degrees depending on how in tune one was. Anakin's door isn't just open. Anakin has no door. The Force flows through him like a raging river. With training, Anakin has dammed it. He has learned to control the floodgates. But Obi-Wan has seen Force exhaustion on Anakin. When he overdoes it and the Force slips from his control, Anakin is far from just hurt. He is dangerous. Obi-Wan looks down at the shivering man in his lap, watching his hold on the Force deteriorate. He smooths Anakin's hair back, being reminded of the heat gathering there. Obi-Wan glances from Anakin to the village and back again. Taking him back is a risk. Obi-Wan has no idea how tenuous his grip on the Force is. He has never exerted himself to this extent before. But Anakin needs help, and he needs it now. He looks back to the village, spotting a man he doesn't recognize in the distance. "Hey," Obi-Wan shouts, "get Sufi, will you?" The man doesn't say a word, but from the look on his face, he doesn't need any further convincing. He turns toward the sick house and is gone before Obi-Wan knows it. Obi-Wan breathes out a sigh and sends a quiet prayer to the Force. The world around him is blurry and disordered and loud. Someone is yelling and a generator is humming and there is blaster fire coming from somewhere. And it is all just too damn loud and too damn much. And he wants it to stop. Anakin whines, but even that hurts his ears, and it only adds to the pounding in his head. He doesn't know what's happening around him or to him. He wants to reach out into the Force, wants to get some sense of where he is, because all he remembers is falling into Obi-Wan's arms. But when he tries, all he receives is a stab behind the eyes. Anakin claws at his and Obi-Wan's bond, desperate for some kind of feedback, but that only sends more blinding static through his head. He presses himself into Obi-Wan's tattered shirt, and even though he hates the way the fabric feels against his skin, his old master's form is solid against his own, and that's enough. But then Obi-Wan is speaking to him, and even though his voice is soft, it grates against the inside of his skull. Anakin brings his hands up to his ears and tries to block out as much noise as he can, and it works for a little while, But then there are footsteps and more talking and more noise, and suddenly he's being poked and prodded and touched by hands that certainly aren't Obi-Wan's. He wants them gone, and she shoves them off, but then he's being held back by hands that are Obi-Wan's, and there's nothing he can do when the other ones come back. Anakin buries his face into Obi-Wan's chest, powerless to stop the whine that escapes his throat. He's whispered to, an apology in a smooth Coruscanti accent. Then there's more talking, and Obi-Wan picks him up. The sudden change makes his head spin. He clings to Obi-Wan's robes, presses himself closer because Obi-Wan is the only thing keeping him afloat in the raging ocean he's drowning in. He can tell they're taking him into the town because the Force is getting louder. It churns around him raw with the village's distress. He tries to quiet it, to control it, but the harder he tries, the more it slips from his grip, like water running through his fingers. The feeling only intensifies with every step he feels Obi-Wan take. Every stride forward amplifies the misery and dread. Anakin tries to say something, to tell Obi-Wan to turn back because it's getting worse, but his words come out more like an unintelligible whimper than anything discernible. They only get closer, and Anakin writhes in Obi-Wan's arms, but the more he squirms, the sicker he feels. He senses himself being carried up a few steps, and suddenly things get really bad, really fast. He hears a door click behind him, and Anakin wants to cry. He wants to claw and scream to get him out of there because it hurts, because it's too much and he can't handle it. Scream that he can feel everything, every scrape, every bruise, every broken bone, every beating heart, every injured child, every worried mother. Scream that he doesn't know what's going on, that he's scared. The very air he's struggling to breathe is saturated with agony and suffering and fear, and he doesn't know what to do. He focuses on Obi-Wan's presence because it's the only tangible thing he can pick out in the sea of sounds and suffering that is his current moment. Anakin clings to Obi-Wan like a lifeline, curling further into his arms and burying his face into tear-soaked fabric because Obi-Wan is solid and warm, and Obi-Wan is there. Until he isn't. Anakin feels himself being lowered. He keeps a vice grip on Obi-Wan's shirt, holding on for dear life, but he's too weak for it to matter. Even as he scratches and scrambles, he is pulled away from Obi-Wan, and the space where he used to be is cold. He barely registers being set down on scratchy sheets, too busy clawing at the last of his master's warmth as Obi-Wan's hands pull away from Anakin's sides. He runs to the Force, desperately searching for any trace of his old master. Anakin is too delirious to realize that Obi-Wan would never leave him. He's too delirious to realize that Obi-Wan is right beside him. All Anakin knows is that he wants Obi-Wan and he can't find him. The Force returns nothing new, nothing he didn't already know, but despite the way searching it hurts, and the way it makes his head pound, Anakin grits his teeth and screws his eyes shut and shoves his way through because he has to find Obi-Wan. He has to. The Force sends him crashing down. It rips him and burns him and tears him to shreds. But Anakin doesn't stop. He can't. He claws and crawls, but all he finds is an overwhelming storm of static. No, 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 he thinks. Or maybe he says, or cries, or shouts. He doesn't know. He can't hear himself scream. All he hears is a buzzing in his ears that is only growing louder. And as everything reaches a crescendo, a breaking point that of which Anakin believes cannot possibly get any worse, he feels a cloth being clamped over his mouth, and suddenly he can't breathe. Anakin fights, he kicks and scrapes and writhes and scratches, but he's exhausted, and as the world fades away into nothingness, he realizes with a modicum of relief that everything is finally quiet. This is the worst-case scenario. Anakin isn't sick, but Obi-Wan really wishes he was.
Dust and debris are falling from the ceiling of the sick house like there's an earthquake, but it isn't the ground that is shaking. It's the thin walls, it's the rickety roof, it's the cabinets and the shelves, it's anything Anakin Skywalker's mind can reach. And Obi-Wan, despite all he's seen, despite everything he knows, despite all his years as Anakin's mentor and friend, doesn't know what to do. He never did. This is why this is the worst case scenario, because Obi-Wan is left utterly and completely helpless, because Obi-Wan, a member of the Council, an esteemed general, one of the greatest Jedi of his generation, is nothing compared to the sheer power of the beacon in the Force that is Anakin Skywalker. Because even as his surroundings are shaken apart, Obi-Wan knows they're being let off easy. He drops to his knees beside Anakin. He holds his hand and whispers his name because he knows it's all he can do. Obi-Wan pushes up against Anakin's share of their bond, and he can't even see through the static on the other side. The Force doesn't take kindly to overuse, and not even its golden child, especially not its golden child, is spared. He's too far gone. Anakin can't even hear him. Obi-Wan has been here before. He knows his role. He knows how this plays out. But Sufi hasn't, and she isn't content to just watch. Obi-Wan watches her from his place at Anakin's side, watches as she swipes a cloth off her counter and a bottle off her shelf, watches as she soaks the fabric in a clear liquid that smells of wine and grass, watches as she clamps it over Anakin's mouth, watches as Anakin fights, watches as Anakin loses. And finally, Obi-Wan watches as everything goes peacefully, silently, still. Even barely conscious, the first thing Anakin feels when he wakes up is his ever-present headache, pulsing in time with the beating of his heart. He groans, turning over where he lies. Scratchy sheets brush against his bare arms, and Anakin frowns. Where is he? The last thing he remembers is the generator and the field and the... There's a stab behind his eyes. And the pain. Anakin cracks his eyes open. It's hard work. His eyelids are heavy and the light isn't kind to his eyes. But he manages to open them enough to survey his surroundings. There's a roof above his head and a window to his left. He feels like he's slept through a millennium. But the last thing he remembers is staring up at sun-filled sky. Now, the space outside the window is dark. Maybe it's only been a few hours. He lets his eyes open further and he finally gets a proper look around. He's surrounded by cots and patients, and Anakin realizes he's wound up in the sick house again. Dread begins to build in his chest, but not a moment later he glances to his right and it's gone. Because he also realizes that Obi-Wan is right beside him. He looks terrible, maybe even worse than Anakin must look right now. He's slouching in his chair, eyes dark and tired, sporting bags you could move houses with. And Anakin swears his hair is grayer. But the moment they lock eyes, his face brightens and relief floods the Force. Anakin! Obi-Wan! His voice is dry and cracking, hoarse from lack of use. Okay, maybe it's been more than a few hours. How long? He coughs. How long was I asleep? At this, he feels Obi-Wan's steel, pausing a moment before he answers. 3 days, he says.
3 days?
Anakin shoots up, his vision swims dangerously, and he sways. Obi-Wan presses him back down on the mattress. Anakin! His words are harsh, but his voice is soft. Stay down!
No, Obi-Wan, you don't understand. What about the generators, the shield, the droids?
He tries to sit up again, but Obi-Wan's hand is on his chest, and he just breaks off into a coughing fit instead. Anakin, everything is all right. The shield is just fine. The droids are being picked off, and the Republic is on its way. We're okay, I promise, but I need you to stay down. Anakin relents, and when the coughing ceases, he lets himself fall back against the mattress.
Okay, he swallows. I trust you.
Good. Obi-Wan's hand pulls away from Anakin's chest. It soon finds a way to Anakin's hair, smoothing errant strands away from his forehead. Your fever's broken, Obi-Wan says, then pauses. Anakin, he stops, sighs. You were really out of it. It was touch and go there for a while, and if I'm being honest, Anakin, it scared me. I just need to know what happened. I know you're more stubborn than a bantha, but why didn't you say anything? His eyes are pleading, and it makes guilt spring up in Anakin's chest. Obi-Wan? It's a loaded question, but one that boils down to a single, simple answer. He swallows.
I didn't want to disappoint you.
His voice is quiet, and it's shame's doing. What, Anakin, why? You know you're more than anything I could ever ask for. And he does. Obi-Wan had never made anything more clear.
It's just, he groans, it's just so simple.
What is? Anakin bows his head, toying with the fraying hem of the blanket that lies over his lap.
It's my shields. Normally they're fine, it's just...
Someone across the sick house starts coughing and Anakin winces.
Places like these, hospitals, healers, stuff always seems to slip through.
Oh, Anakin, that's what you're so ashamed of? Obi-Wan's tone is light. That's not an uncommon problem, not at all. Anakin looks up now, meeting Obi-Wan's eye.
Wait, really?
Yes, really. I had the same issue when I was your age. Here, Obi-Wan straightens in his seat. Qui-Gon taught me this. Follow my lead. And he does. He matches the rhythm of Obi-Wan's breathing until, for the first time in a long time, Anakin feels his headache begin to ease. The end.